Hello, it's Elliot from the Many Sided Media team here to tell you that we are running our first ever Patreon drive. Our goal is to get 100 new or upgrading annual members at any tier to join the Patreon. So, why are we doing this? We want to ensure that Many Sided Media can continue to produce all the shows you know and love, Talk of the Table, My First Dungeon, Bitcherton, as well as some new shows that we're excited to tell you about in the year to come. We want to keep Many Sided Media surviving and thriving for the next year and years beyond, paying people fairly for the work they do and keeping everybody happy, healthy, not burnt out. The best way for you to support these efforts is to join our Patreon. What you get when you join? Bonus talkbacks, bonus actual plays, our newsletter, the Many-Sided Newsletter, the exclusive show Under the Table where Brian and I talk about business, and a whole lot more. So please head to patreon.com/manysidedmedia and pledge your support. Thank you so much. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Elliot.
What's the talk of the table?
Today, we are sitting down with Cam Bradley, the new business manager at GameFound. Cam, welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks so much for being here.
It's always exciting to talk to new players in the crowdfunding space. So we're excited to have you on the show.
Cheers.
So, Cam, we want to get into like all things GameFound and sort of find in this conversation where amidst the modern RPG crowdfunding landscape GameFound sits. You know, Brian and I have experience with crowdfunding games. We've crowdfunded a show. I know a lot of people who've crowdfunded, so lots of experience here. And I want to just know, to start, for folks who might not know, maybe have never heard the words GameFound put together in this way, what is GameFound, the platform?
GameFound is a platform, crowdfunding obviously, specifically made for tabletop games. Historically and definitely our bread and butter is board games. That's where we started and definitely where our biggest audience is. So when it comes to that and kind of an over-encompassing envelope, board games, tabletop war games, and a little bit more emerging, I would say, would be tabletop role-playing games. We've been around for, 6 or 7 years now at this point. And yeah, being a part of the team has been incredibly exciting.
And why was it exciting to you and to GameFound to expand from the niche of board games into tabletop role-playing games?
For me specifically, tabletop role-playing games was what got me into crowdfunding back in the day. Like, I've always had a head for narrative and stories, no matter what the medium is. And specifically, I think it was the first Wild Sea campaign. It was like the first crowdfunding campaign where I really felt like part of the community, and it would kind of like made me fell in love with the space. Yeah. And so when I joined the team at GameFound, there's kind of a dearth, shall we say, of crowdfunding projects for this specific area. And I was like, I would really like to try to change that. And so it's something I've been working on for, I guess, the last 2.5-ish years at this point. And so the RPG party was kind of like took a couple of renditions for sure, but it's where we landed as far as like, okay, well, how can we grow our audience while also giving back to this space as well?
Yeah, and RPG Party is kind of the reason that we're having this conversation. It's sort of what we got connected over. So what was RPG Party? It was just a few months ago, right?
Yeah. So it was about, technically it's still ongoing because all of the project funded are now working towards fulfillment and such. But yeah, so it was about a a 6-month grind, shall we say, from everyone that was able to participate, going from submitting their projects in a open submission. So it was basically as wide a submission as possible. We wanted this event to be distinct from, say, like Azine Quest or like Mothership Month kind of idea, where scope and scale is entirely up to whatever everyone has submitted. And then it came down to a panel of judges reviewing all the projects, myself for GameFound, and then we had some partners, which we can talk about as well, which contributed to it. Everyone that was accepted in after the whole review process. Then began about a 4-month journey going from creating their previews, getting a whole bunch of workshops from us as a platform, but then also a whole bunch of experts specifically in the RPG space about how to come up with the crowdfunding campaign, how to put pledges together, how to market, and everything in between. And then we did a kind of a banner crowdfunding event where all the projects, there was 22 that that launched all launched at the same time to be able to promote each other and for us to be able to promote them too.
This feels a lot more involved than what a typical like crowdfunding campaign is in terms of just like the platform supporting and being interested in the individual campaigns and how they work together. What was the impetus behind like having such a heavy hand in this first big event?
Yeah, mentorship. So like while we haven't been able to have that many RPG campaigns on GameFound, I've got a whole bunch of fantastic friends in the space now from also working in tabletop crowdfunding, and being able to leverage those connections and personal knowledge to help other people like get on their feet in the industry was incredibly special.
So we're now like a few months out from it having been the funding portion of being completed. Everyone's obviously still working on delivering. Baseline, how do you feel it went?
Feel really good. So out of 22 projects, we've had 16 successfully fund, and some are actually already closing in on fulfilling, which is insane in my mind. So obviously would have loved for all 22 to have been able to fund. But I'm really confident that those that weren't able to took like really, really good lessons and are going to be able to carry that knowledge forward to relaunch wherever and however that is going to be. I've also made sure to like make myself available for them too, like when it comes to relaunching. And a like personal note there for me too, like obviously I work for GameFound and I have biases there, and I would love to see them come back and run with us again. But like most important thing for me is being successful in this space, like regardless of where you launch.
What do you think made the difference for those projects that weren't able to fund during RPG Party?
Yeah, for some, I would say involvement. One of the biggest strengths, in my opinion, of the event was the community that we were able to create. We had a separate Discord group with all the participants in it. And just like watching the sharing of knowledge and information and asking each other for feedback. A couple of the projects ended up doing some collaborative adventure writing too, which was awesome to see. The people that were most involved tended to be the people that were more successful. And so some of the folks that didn't fund, for various reasons, like some personal and some that I'm unaware of, weren't as involved in that process, or seemingly as involved in like being active on their previews and such as that too. And so I think that was a correlation for sure.
And over the course of this RPG party, what did you learn, like in terms of GameFound? Like where did you find your strengths were for this? And then where do you find there were areas of weakness that you're hoping to improve for the next RPG party going forward?
Yeah, I'd say developing the community and giving everyone like a space to grow together was one of the biggest ones. Mentorship, this for like the event in general, but also for me personally, was incredibly special. Like initially I kind of left the door open, like, hey, if you want to talk about anything, like just give me a poke and we can hop on a video call. And I found that wasn't really getting that much results. And it's there's so many things I can share with you. And so I started actively chasing people like, hey, let's hop on a call and talk about this. And, those calls were incredibly rewarding. So that was fantastic. And then also I'd say like just showing that GameFound is a platform that can support RPGs of quite literally all shapes and sizes. Like we had some that were including miniatures that were geared towards introducing more ladies into the tabletop space, which was really, really cool. Some that were about being a group of raccoons in a trench coat and just all kinds of chaos that ensues. And then some like huge scoped multiple book, like two books spanning 700 pages with also 5 zines included as stretch goals, like wild. And so the scope of that was really, really cool to see. As far as areas for growth, I think the biggest one was, or some of the biggest ones, the two most important to me, at least that come to mind right away, was timeline. Originally, we're like, yeah, we'll have all these participants, we'll get their previews live like within a month, and then we'll crowdfund a month after that. It's great. And then you get into it and it's like, oh my goodness, this is way too tight a timeline. Some people that, some people that had been accepted into the events were like, that's way too tight a timeline. We're not going to be able to make that work. And so we were like, okay, well, we need to pivot. We need to change this timeline. This is way too aggressive. That was one. And it was one of those moments where it's like, that makes so much sense. That was a silly one on us for sure. Because a big part of the event is teaching people how to get into the space for the first time. And a personal anecdote that I've been doing while that was going on is renovating a home. And oh my gosh, it takes so long trying to learn all these various things. And yeah, so I think that was a big one, timeline. There's some feedback from some of the folks that participated about like, oh, it'd be awesome to have like a syllabus just so that there's some firmer footing about like, so here's where we're at, here's where we're going. That was something that I think would really help with that too, about like, here's the workshops that we're going to cover with so-and-so professional in the space. Here's what we're going to cover and help you with. And here's some things that'll be really important for you to dig into on your own time and some rough kind of timelines there too. Going back to one of your questions actually too, Brian, about like this event being different as far as the involvement. It's a really interesting line because on one hand, we're a crowdfunding platform. We shouldn't necessarily be adjudicating who or what runs as parts of events. On the other hand, being able to step in and mentor was really, really special too. So it's kind of an interesting line, especially when it comes into that mentorship and providing specific directions of when and how long you're going to run your project for. Because each person running a project, it's obviously their responsibility. And so it kind of blurs that line a little bit of this is on you rather than this is on me. And so that's something that I think we need to be kind of mindful of going forward. One of the biggest things, and the second other two kind of the big two pieces for areas for growth was visibility. We had like a dedicated page where all the projects lived, but it was kind of hidden. It was like the equivalent of the Harry Potter bedroom under the stairs rather than being like right there in the living room when you go and visit GameFound. And I think it would be fair to argue that having the page like that might not have changed the overall funding results of the event, but the optics on that are very, very different, where people that were participating were like, yeah, you need to find all the projects, you need to follow this specific link or go into the blog and find it within the blog post rather than being click the button on the main page and there we all are.
Right. So there's a difference between gamefound.com or gamefound.com and then this and this and then this.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So those were, I think, the two biggest ones in my opinion for areas for growth.
In terms of like, when I think about, the different reasons to use a different platform, you know, you start to think about the strengths of each platform. And like, when I think about Kickstarter, there's like, oh, there's inherent discoverability. You know, BackerKit has like fulfillment and great pre-launch marketing is like why people go there. Did you find either in the 2.5 years that you've been just kind of thinking about this or within RPG Party that you're like, oh, I think this is where we're going to find GameFound's strength for RPG creators?
Yeah, yeah. So it was actually it was one of the reasons why I was so keen on trying to grow us into the space, because I was like, oh man, like all of the tools that we have that we've developed for tabletop games feel like they'd be so applicable to helping RPG creators run like fantastic campaigns. And so you can touch on those a little bit, but it's always kind of funny talking about this point because like there's so much data we can share about like, oh, our platform is great for this and that, but it's for our bulk audience of board games. So a lot of it's kind of like, here's the tools that we have and like happy to talk to you about the pros, but there's that important asterisk of generally speaking, our audience is board game based. So yeah, like some of them are things you've seen other platforms start to develop too, which I think is great. It's the natural kind of like competition for the industry, which is good for everybody. But some would be like a much more interactive preview where it's a lot more like community growth based. There's a lot more you can do to engage with people. Follower retention for future projects where anyone who backed you or even just like followed the project is automatically notified of future launches and such. We're also like a one-stop shop for like Late Pledge and Pledge Manager and all that too, with a bunch of expert options for development hubs and such too. So like, all kinds of different stuff like that. And I would say like, if anyone's curious, like would love to have a no pressure conversation about like, here's something that you might like about the platform and could be good for you kind of thing. One thing I would love to see personally that I know is in the works, I just don't know when it's going to be, is proper digital fulfillment. Cause it's one thing that we don't have right now.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a pain.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been pushing for it internally and we've been getting all kinds of feedback from RPG creators on like, yeah, what looks good, what's missing. And I was kind of surprised because it's been like a pretty 50-50 split of people that like are hard coded to, we will not try a platform unless it has this, or yeah, that's fine. And so I think it's resulted in it being like not as much of a priority for us as I would like it to be, but it is on the way. Just when is the question.
In terms of someone who's looking to bring a project to a crowdfunding site, there's obviously Kickstarter and BackerKit and GameFound. who do you think, in terms of like size, scope of the project, audience for the project, who do you think would find most success on GameFound, specifically in the tabletop space?
Yeah, really, really good question. So historically, and I think that this is still pretty correct, is the bigger the project, the higher opportunity it has well to do with GameFound. That is, again, like looking at some data and all that, like we were crunching some numbers internally, and I think for 2025, we had the most IP projects in comparison to Kickstarter. And objectively, they did better on GameFound too, like more backers and overall higher funding. And those are like big IP projects, which tends to have a much larger scope and such. So historically, that's what I would say would do best with us. But I don't know if that's necessarily entirely true for the RPG space. So like, let's say a big 5e project were to try us out. My guess would be that the average pledge value would be higher, just because some various different tools that we have and such, but the backer count would be lower. And so where that would end up falling funding-wise, I'm not sure. I would say that, especially after the RPG party, that more cultivating, like obviously big projects, fantastic, happy to have them, and let's chat about how we can make them as successful as possible. But that more kind of grassroots projects, I think that would be where I would go at this moment, especially after following the RPG party and just seeing how projects did and where they landed and such. So discoverability, let's talk about that, because I think that is kind of an important piece of it. Like, Kickstarter's been known for having excellent discoverability for years, and that's absolutely true, with the disclaimer of if you don't get discovered by their algorithm, you kind of get hidden unless you have other means to stand out, which is a pro and con of the platform, right? Like, if you get put in front of that, you're probably going to be set. But if not, it's going to be crickets, and that's really, really sad. I think that's a byproduct of Kickstarter having such a big audience with so many various projects going at the same time. So that's not a knock on the platform at all. For us, I'd say discoverability was one of the big things that we wanted to be important. So for us, at least, like projects on our main page, there's a whole bunch of different features and placements for them. So there's upcoming projects, there's projects in Link Pledge and Pledge Managers, which are also considered live campaigns and get shine on the main page too. And some data we had, so again, disclaimer of a board game based, I think over, what was it? I think 52% of all followers of projects actually came from looking through our site too. So it's a great way to like build a community ahead of time, and being able to do that in the same place where you're going to be crowdfunding, instead of having like your social media, your Discords, and everything in between.
Yeah, that discoverability and browsability is huge.
I'm curious, with this big board game audience that you have on the platform, when it comes to like something like an RPG party, did you notice that it was a lot of existing users, those people that like are backing board games, or did RPG Party bring a new user base on the consumer side of the platform?
Yeah, we haven't done the hard crunching yet, so this is going to be more of a gut feeling than anything else. I'd say that for the RPG Party, I think more than not, it was our existing audience, and then padded out by new audiences brought over by the various creators too. So part of when we actually put the event together was, okay, so we don't have an existing audience here. How can we try to build that out? And so we had partnered up with Magpie Games, Loot Tavern, Chaosium, and Drive Through RPG to try to help showcase the event a little bit, which was fantastic to have them involved. And so that definitely helped, like having the event pushed out in some various newsletters and such. That was great. I think, though, and reason why I think a lot of the audience was our existing one, is just kind of modern day attention spans and, oh, that looks interesting, but oh, I need to make an account for that. So I think that was something. That's actually something we've changed since, which I'm excited about. Now, if someone wants to follow a project, they can just leave their email rather than having to sign up at the time. So stoked for that. But yeah, so I think mostly our existing audience.
There's the thing I forgot to ask. In the RPG party, like the original, I think it was 22 campaigns. How many of those were first time creators, or like first time running a crowdfunding campaign?
Yeah, very first timers. This is an estimate, but I would say probably 17 to 18 of them were like true first timers.
So like most.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's really interesting.
Yeah, we had some outliers. Like MythWorks is obviously a big one. Working with them was fantastic. It was so awesome in so many ways. And so they were an outlier, and same with like Chain Assembly, who's ran a whole bunch of projects on Kickstarter before too. And some of the idea there was like, hey, well, if they're running like a project that makes sense for this, again, talking about like, hey, do you want to bring a big project to us, which is a risk, or do you have something smaller that you can use to try out the platform? It just felt like a awesome opportunity to be able to work together, then also through their audience, help bring more eyes to the event itself too. And like Nick from Chain Assembly was just such a wealth of knowledge in our community group too, just sharing so many awesome things too. So we had some veterans there for sure, but the vast majority were first timers. And that goes back into like learning so many different things for the first time. Cause like you guys are aware from being in the space, like, yeah, putting together the game, the campaign is one thing, but then there's so many other aspects too.
It's amazing how much work you do to not be anywhere close to done.
Yeah.
It's always amazing how far away you always are from being done.
I'm curious, like, from both the veteran and the first-timer side, what were, like, the biggest things you heard from those creators in the sort of debrief, just, like, anecdotally from folks? Like, were there things that they wanted, things that they were, like, really stoked about?
Yeah, I think one of the things that could have gone better, and this also falls into, like, the visibility piece, too, is we have a, like, platform-specific marketing tool called AdFound. Which again can share the data from it, but it's all skewed towards board games mostly, which is awesome because marketing is such a big monster in so many ways, especially when it's your very first time. And so being able to have a tool that gives you some critique and feedback and you just plug in the text for it on top of your assets is awesome. And obviously being able to get the analytics from that is great. And so we wanted to leverage that as like some incentives to help people get off the ground, and also as kind of like a push-pull kind of thing where like, hey, like if you really push and drive some organic traffic to your preview, like based on your follower account, we'll like give out more funds allocated to your AdFound. The numbers that we used for it were more based on what we'd expect from like board game previews. And so a lot of projects didn't reach very high in follower counts comparatively. Meaning there's all this like carrots dangled of you can have this much money, but you're only going to actually get this amount. So that led to some frustrations. And then also I kind of think with the tool too, some people had some great results from it. Some people had mixed. And so I think most of the folks that had experience either running their own marketing or have people that they're used to doing their marketing for them didn't see as much benefit from AdFound there. And that could be chalked up to having 22 projects launching at the exact same time, all using the tool at the exact, I think the event actually launched the exact same day that Mothership Month launched as well.
Yeah.
Which is
tough, a little rough. Competition. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is a tough day. Yeah. 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 It's a thing of, there's a school of thought that people are having lately where they're like, are these RPG events like a net good, a net help for people, or is it better for people to just be able to like run a campaign whenever? And do you see like, obviously RPG Party was like a push, you want to bring more RPG creators. Do you see GameFound like as it stands now as like me as RPG creator, I want to crowdfund something in May and there's not an event happening there, would it still be advantageous to them to use GameFound for like a non-RPG Party RPG crowdfunder?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say too, like part of my role within the company is talking to people at their projects and helping assess like, hey, I think that this has this kind of potential to do well with us. Or you know what, like for that one specifically, I would probably run it elsewhere, and kind of talking about the pros and cons like that. So again, having biases from working for a company, but also being empowered to have those honest conversations is awesome. So I would say that like events like the RPG Party, various Topias and such are fantastic if it fits the timeline and the niche for your game. But there's no better time to launch a project than like when you're well and truly ready to go. And so if you don't need that other support, if everything's all lined up and you got a set date and it's looking great, like absolutely let's chat. Because one of the things I like to do is, so anyone using GameFound for projects, be it pledge manager or crowdfunding, has a dedicated support person. So That's not me. You don't want me helping out on the back end. But I still like to be as involved as makes sense. And so, like, let's say you're trying the platform for the first time, or it's your very first crowdfunding project. Like the one-on-one mentorship that I offered for everyone in the RPG party, that's something that I like to do with everybody. And so while I was really, really pushing for it for those people, because I feel like they could benefit from it the most, like be it feedback on how a crowdfunding draft is looking, be it like input on pledge tiers and stretch goals and such. Like I love being able to do that stuff with like creators of all sizes. And so I would say having a conversation, learning about the project, the scope of it, your goals for it, and like what kind of pledge tiers are going to be is the first step. And then assessing like, oh, like maybe there is some other event going on too. Like we do quarterly preview reveal events called feasts, which is basically like various creators being able to banner around each other's audiences via like a live streams, paid ad events, and then being able to get like a surplus of followers early on with launching with that. And so like maybe there's a feast at that time, or it's like, hey, let's just talk about strategies about how to use our preview to the fullest in comparison to other platforms and such like that too.
I really like the idea of like a shared like pre-marketing push thing. That's really fun. I haven't heard anyone else doing that. That's a great idea.
I love it so much. The next one's actually, at time of recording at least, is going to be on January 20th. So excited to see everything that's revealed.
That's rad. Very cool.
It's the talk of the table.
Pocket Bard is the immersive audio app that allows game masters to weave music, ambience, and sound effects seamlessly into their games with just the push of a button. It's intuitive, easy to use, and now Pocket Bard has gone from your pocket to your PC. That's right, Pocket Bard is now available on your phone and your desktop computer, making it even easier to bring in the perfect music right when the climactic battle begins. Now, GMs who run everything from their PC have access to Pocket Bard alongside their other tools. It's the same Bard on a bigger screen. Plus, Pocket Bard is releasing their new cozy lo-fi collection for free to celebrate the new desktop version. These scenes will add even more flair to the quiet, contemplative moments of your game, where your players sit around the campfire and make plans for their next adventure. Download Pocket Bard for your phone or your computer from the App Store or straight from pocketbard.app. Hero Forge offers fully customizable tabletop miniatures with dozens of fantasy species and thousands of parts to choose from, all within your browser. They can make your perfect mini in a variety of materials, including bronze, color standees, and color plastic options. They can even put your custom miniature inside a 20-sided die, so your character lives in every attack roll and every saving throw. And if you like to 3D print your own minis, Hero Forge offers downloadable model files so you can 3D print your unique designs at home. And Hero Forge is constantly expanding its catalog of customization options. New parts are added every single week, and major features like new species and custom posing are updated on a regular basis. So visit heroforge.com to start designing your custom miniature today.
Wild Sailor. Venture into the waves of the Wild Sea again, this time to the fabled home of the Chelicrae. The Wild Sea Sourdown is on Kickstarter now and is the new expansion for the Emmy award-winning Wild Sea, one of my all-time favorite RPGs, set in a post-fall ocean of verdancy, where you can play anything from moth people to the spirit of an iron ship to, of course, a very big and beautiful tree. Sourdown explores the home of the hive mind insect colony beings, the Chelicrae. This expansion features over 50 pages of content, including factions and hazards in the new Reach of Sourdown, new thematic background and ship options, and an adventure for those who wish to brave the pale groves. Death plays different on rustling waves, and through silk and honey, through spores and sacrifice, the lost Reach of Sourdown might be dragged into summer once more. Don't wait. Back the Wild Sea Sourdown now on Kickstarter.
Cutter.
Here we go!
Oh my God, he threw,
here
he
we
threw
go!
The chair.
He threw the chair.
And now he's getting it back all because right. We're going to have to sit.
We are in Casey's home. That was Casey's actual chair.
You look out of the window and you see a Toyota Previa upside down on fire.
Oh, oh my God. Oh.
But it's not nearby any trees or anything, so it's fine.
On fire.
It's fine. It's not fine to me, GM. Jesus Christ, that's my fucking car.
Dynamite headbutt.
He screams as he headbutts this man.
Honestly, his left jaundiced eyeball pops out of his head.
Oh! And if you were to take a picture the second their two heads were touching, it might have been an intimate, tender scene between friends or lovers. But if you were to take a picture at any other second, yeah. It is just absolutely horrifying.
For some men, violence is a form of intimacy, which is so sad.
That is
maybe
so
for
sad.
This man. But anyway. Boom! Smashed in the head!
Bodhi has a pocket full of, like, one oversized precious moment angel that has a real strange face.
Oh, I thought that was your dick.
Oh! It was his dick. There's a hole in his pocket and his penis, which does resemble a precious moment angel with a strange face.
Oh, it's a strange face, but it actually looks like a pretty normal penis head.
And that's what we call facts.
He looks back and he says one last threatening phrase, pointing to the bar.
I'm gonna... And Violet shoots him in the head.
You see this guy's ear get blown off, flying off his head.
Ah! Bye-bye.
And then at this point, Scratch pops up like a mummy.
Ah, mummy!
Dynamite headbutt!
Something is rising, piecing itself together from the bodies and viscera around it. Its black wings spread, and it looks back at you with red, wet eyes.
Gutter.
I know for a lot of people who are looking, especially in the like indie RPG space, who are looking at, you know, am I going to do Kickstarter? Am I going to do Backerkit? Should I check out GameFound? One of the big determining factors for some people is the platform's policy on AI. Does GameFound have like a specific policy on AI usage in campaigns that are on the platform?
Yeah, we do. We didn't for up until I think last year, and so I'm really glad that we finally have one. And it's basically if any AI is present, it needs to be disclosed. The one thing I want to see a little bit firmer is specifically like the where and the how of it, because that's not as clear as I think it could be. But if there is AI being used, it needs to be mentioned on the project, either like in the campaign page itself or in an FAQ.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that was one of the criteria for the RPG party as well. It was like, is there any generative AI used? And if it was just clearly all AI, like it was not considered. If it was clearly AI, but they had a clear message saying like, this is just a placeholder, then it would still be considered.
It's an interesting space now because it's something that a lot of people care so much about. And it's such like a fraught element of the world now. That I know Kickstarter has a pretty wishy-washy AI stance. Backerkit is very like firm no go. And then it seems like GameFound is kind of existing in the middle space, which is maybe good to have for someone who is on the spectrum of the degree to which they care about AI usage in games.
Yeah, it's a lot better. And this is my opinion, of course. It's a lot better than the AI stance was like a year or two ago. Room for improvement, I think, still a little bit for sure. But it is better than it was for sure.
Yeah, I mean, there's a interesting thing of like all the things that go into like choosing a platform. And like, I know from my own perspective of like crowdfunding, I found myself in a position where I'm just like, I am kind of a Backerkit creator now because I have done it 3 times and it's gone well, you know, or two times and it's gone well, and I'm about to do it a third time. And like, when it comes to like platform loyalty, maybe is the phrase I'm going for. Like, do you want GameFound to become people's like, this is where I crowdfund all my RPG products? Or is it like, it's part of a tapestry of different platforms and like, hey, this project, it might be right to use GameFound. This project, it might be right to use Backerkit. Like, what's your hope for how like people's relationship with the platform develops in the RPG world?
Yeah, I would love to see it become rather the go-to place. I think a go-to place is, I don't know if realistic is the right word. I would love to be realistic, but I think it would be better for the general community rather than just having like another Kickstarter where it's the monolithic place to go. I think having multiple that are strong options for various reasons keeps, we touched on it earlier, but it keeps like the whole industry more competitive. And I think that that is a net positive for everybody. I will say when I've like developed really, really good relationships with folks that have used us once or twice or more, and they're like, oh yeah, we're going elsewhere for this one. It's like, no, why? But like, I get it.
Yeah.
It is a thing. It's really nice that there are, it's nice to have, it was nice when there wasn't just Kickstarter, all of a sudden Backer came on and it became a like real option, like it really worked for some people and for some projects, and they had tools that Kickstarter didn't have or specialize in certain things. And having a diversity of platforms that people can use for their crowdfunding, I think, is just a boon to the community overall, just because you have a little bit more options. It forces everyone to get a little bit better. Like, I think Kickstarter certainly has to get better to compete with like BackerKit's ads and fulfillment arm. I do love that there is like now kind of a third player, and hopefully, you know, a few extra players coming in to the mix, just to allow more people to be able to fund their games, especially in the indie tabletop world when like no one's making any money, and it's just such an uphill climb at even at the best of times. It's great to have just more tools at your disposal to hopefully help you get there.
Yeah, I fully agree. It was something I didn't realize until I actually got into the space professionally, but like how many people, be it board games, RPGs, or anything, are like passion creators. Like, it's not their day job. They're working their 9 to 5 and then they're doing what they love to do in the evenings and weekends. Like, so many people fall into that bill. And it's obviously the last 5+ years have been very, very stressful on the industry for various reasons, which is an inhibitor to that too, but would love to see it where more people can actually like do their day job, like their dream job. Yeah, so much so that.
When you're kind of looking out into the like near future, what are the sort of, whether it's more intangible things you want to develop or like real tangible software solutions that you want to like bring that you think will help RPG creators, what are the like big projects you're excited about that you can talk about for the near future?
Yeah, I think the most important one is that digital fulfillment piece, just because it's like putting a puzzle together and having like the centerpiece is not there in my opinion. So that one is one that I really want to see brought online. I know it's like it's being worked on, but just when's it going to come out? That's the big one that comes to mind for me that we're working on and would like to see, but would also love, like, out of your guys' repertoire of crowdfunding and such and talking with all kinds of folks, like, is there anything that you've heard people are missing and would like to see or from yourselves too?
Elliot, you'd have the answer better than I would.
Yeah. I just went through 2 rounds of fulfillment. I'm trying to think if there's like, if there were big pain points. I find the whole fulfillment process to be such a headache in general. I mean, I think that I don't know that there's a tool that can fully remove the headache of fulfillment, but I do find the whole thing to be a real headache. There's a support for marketing between nothing and paid ads that I would love to find, or like would love to see a platform find, and I don't know what it is. But like that might be the thing, is like, I did 2 campaigns in the last 2 years on BackerKit. One of them was a $40 box game that was like, this is the prime size for ad spend, and so you can do advertising and thing. And then one was a $20 book, not so prime for ad spend because that price point is thing. So like a solution where it's like, how can we be supported in marketing when ad spend ROAS does not make sense?
Cool. Very cool. Yeah, I'd say AdFound is close to that as a stepping stone between organic marketing and paid marketing. But at the end of the day, it is meta ads. So yeah, that's a really, really interesting question. I'll touch on that internally with the team, because that's something that would be really cool. And fully agree on fulfillments and everything. Like, we've got, I'd say with GameFound specifically, it can be a bit of a steeper learning curve than Kickstarter. I don't know how, I haven't experienced BackerKit's backend, so I wouldn't know for sure with that. But there's a huge swath of options you can do in regards to like working towards fulfillment. Like, we handle all of the VAT for like all project creators like out of the EU and UK. There's some different like US sales tax remittance, and also like a little box you can check to have any sort of rates there automated based on the address instead of statewide and such. So a bunch of stuff there, but again, that's nitty gritty and not great like audio talk, I'm sure.
Honestly, a lot of people that listen to the show are people who are creating, people who like the nitty gritty of just like, just because that's the stuff that's like, when you get to the end of the day, that's the stuff that's really gonna make a difference. And in Elliot's words, like, that's the headache. Like, if we can help solve a little bit of that headache, this, you know, 45 minutes to an hour of a podcast is totally worth it.
Oh, that's a really good point. Also, it's funny, a funny place to be like, ooh, shipping and taxes, ears perk up.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You should hear.
It's so much of my time spent.
There'll be times when imagine. Me and Elliot are like, ooh, let me tell you about this new plugin I found. It saved me 10 minutes out of every episode or whatever. And just like, because I saved 10 minutes, so that means I get to talk for the thing about 10 for 10 minutes. So.
Heck yes.
And then, I mean, the other, like, if we're talking intangibles, I'm just thinking of, I've just been sitting here kind of trying to think through pain points of crowdfunding. The platform that can successfully solve the mid-campaign slump, I don't know what magic wand that would take, but the platform that can do it, I think will attract every creator around, because it's just such a fact of crowdfunding that you're just going to hit your midpoint and you're going to be like, no one likes my project. No one's back. Like, I got one backer or like no backers today. It's over. It's not funding. Like, and yeah.
So much so. Yeah. Got to live that with not to the same degree as everyone in the RPG party, but like, I got to go to Essence Beale for work, and then did a little holiday overseas with my wife after, and was trying not to because I was on holiday, but was obviously keeping tabs on how everyone's doing and how everyone was feeling in that like 2.5 through 3.5 weeks into the campaign. And the dread and the lull is so real. We did for a little while something that we called, it's not the most inspired name, but puzzles. And so basically for some projects, we would do like a online solvable puzzle hosted on our platform. And then the people that would guess the various stages correctly would get like a free pledge from the creator running the project. And that was really, really cool. But I think, again, talking about like scope and scale, like you can only do that for a certain number of creators a week, a month, whatever it's going to be. And there's a lot of involvement there. And then it gets into the kind of pickle of like, oh, well, we're picking and choosing who we're doing with rather than having it as something that's available for everybody. So yeah, I'd be really curious on that too, because yeah, mid-campaign slump is real for sure, and how to solve it.
It's just making a lot of ads and a lot of media and a lot of, I don't know, TikToks. Who the fuck knows? Who the fuck knows?
He solved it.
I solved it right there.
You solved it right there. Yeah. No, yeah. I think those are the big ones. It's also, it's just a lot of like, it's just hard. Like, it's like, that's kind of the funny thing about, the funny thing I come to in all of these conversations, like we've had, you know, we talked to Asher McClanahan from Kickstarter, and I've had a lot of conversations with RPG people, like, or with crowdfunding platforms, like in person and stuff. And it's just, it always comes to, it's like, yeah, like you guys can do a lot for us, you know, like you can make all the tools and you can make like everything look and feel as good as possible, and it's still gonna be hard. it's still gonna be such a hard thing to do. Like it's just hard to crowdfund. That's not really a question, it's just a thought that I'm having that's like a little bit defeatist, but also kind of like, it's just the reality. It's just like, this is, it's hard work to get to make something.
One of the workshops that we did was with Wet Ink, Scripted, and Rodeo James, just all talking about book orders and like how you can print your books, what kind of services you're going to use, and what kind of books are going to get printed. And it's such an interesting topic because like a lot of it is like, oh, you need so much money to be able to get like a proper high quality book order. Or there's POD, which is great for what it is, but it's so limited in so many ways too. And so it was really, really interesting. I used to work in publishing. And so talking about like book orders, printing, who are you going to use for it? If you have the money for it, are you going to do any custom print runs and such like that too, is an absolute treat. And so it was really fun to be able to like weigh into that conversation a little bit. And Radio James, you put it so well, because it turned like a little doom and gloomy about like, if you want a nice book run, you need so much money to build and make it happen. He's like, hey, but like on the other edge of that sword, book printing has never been so accessible, and like that's spot on. And so I think like speaking in general for crowdfunding, I'd say similar, where yes, there's a huge amount of people using it and such. And going back to projects that don't fund, like be it whatever that reason might be, like maybe a crucial misstep in like making pledge tiers and pricing, or just not having the conversion rates, or not getting discovered. It sucks a lot, so much so, and a lot of work goes into that. But there's also so much power in relaunches too. And I think there's something to be said for just like anything, like just because you fail doesn't mean you're going to fail next time. And like the people that do show up for that first time are going to banner around you, because everyone loves an underdog story. And like those people are going to be there to support you the next time. And so I think that that's a really important thing too. There was in the RPG party, there's a few people sitting at like around 40 to 60% funding, like 2 to 3 weeks in. And like could just kind of tell they're starting to disengage from their projects a little bit. And it's like, okay, well, let's have a conversation. Like, one, if you just scrape by your funding line, like, will you be able to fulfill? And then two, like, I personally think that you can make it. Let's talk about like how you can get there if it works for you. And like those conversations were like just so empowering. And 2 out of 3 of them were able to fund, which was incredibly rewarding. So I think like going back to the community piece, like we're always our biggest critics. And like talking about social media and such, like it's so easy to feel like you're just shouting into a void. And then crowdfunding is that just tenfold, because you put so much time and effort to making this thing and you're getting crickets in response, or not really the response that you would hope for. And so like, that doom and gloom, that personal doom and gloom, is always going to be worse than what other people thinking online are going to see, unless you get horrible people in the comments, which is the internet too. So that will happen. But like having people that you can lean on to be like, hey, let's talk about how we can like adjust or make this work is so important.
I do love the the two-sided coin of it's never been easier, but it's still hard. And also it's so hard, but it's never been easier. it's really a glass half full, half empty.
Yeah, there's an old adage. I used to work in a restaurant for way too many years when I was younger. But one of the managers there said, like, oh, like we are, to paraphrase, because I can't remember exactly, but we're not professionals doing a professional job. And it's something that's kind of stuck with me, because I feel like for a lot of people, it's synonymous with this space too, like especially having to wear so many hats is as well, and so hard. There's so many things to consider. So yeah, like it's, yeah, for me in this space, like I feel like this is my dream job, and being able to help people succeed in it is just phenomenal. And yeah, so that's why, like, hands down, running the RPG party, again, fingers crossed we can keep doing it. We got to crush the numbers on that. But like running this event for pros and cons, because there was some big fallout and negatives that we worked through and had to pivot through. But hands down, the most rewarding thing I've ever gotten to do professionally.
That's rad. I really love to hear that. Well, I'm excited to, you know, see how GameFound and the RPG party like continues to grow and thrive, and if it becomes, if and how it becomes a like really great third option for especially like the smaller indie TTRPG creators, because those are the people who we always want to make life a little bit easier for, because we like the games that these folks are making. Cam, as we start kind of like round a corner towards an end, is there anything else you wanted us to touch on before we start working our way towards an ending?
Yeah, I think especially that was a good high point. One question I was have you guys too, and like this can be on camera or off too, but like we chatted a little bit about like the dedicated months versus like Zine Quest and such. With the RPG party falling a little bit different with like a certain amount of people included and also like a wide scope of projects, but with all the mentorship, do you think that is like a good differentiator, especially with the mentorship piece, and like thoughts on like if the event was to open up to more people or be more exclusive?
I can see arguments in both directions. I find it interesting that it was broad in scope, and when you crunch all the numbers, I'd be curious if the small projects suffered relative to the big projects. That would be my only kind of maybe fear of like broader scope. Like, does the small project do as well as it would with a bunch of other small projects? And that's like kind of an A-B test you'll never, can't really do. But that's where my brain initially goes, is that I would worry if I was like, hey, I'm making this 30-page zine and like, you know, this trilogy of hardcovers is here, that like, I might get overlooked.
But the mentorship thing is great. I mean, I think that that's a really unique, fun piece for it, and definitely something the other months aren't doing.
That's something that, like, no one, like, you've got to really seek out if you're looking for someone to, like, help you through, especially your first time. Like, that's, that is a thing that I would say is, like, a differentiator, or, like, is pretty valuable, especially to, like, first-time creators who are doing the 30-page zine and really don't know, you don't know what you don't know. It's until you go through it and, like, actually have the experience, you won't know what you were missing and how you could have done it better. Having someone there who can just say, hey, buddy, I've been down this hole before. Like, I know the way out. Really helpful.
And Elliot, one counterpoint too, is because a lot of the projects in the RPG party were smaller in scope, and especially for funding goals and such too. Ambition, which is the perfect freaking name for the project, because it's the one that was like 700 pages and a whole bunch of scenes. It was a conversation that we had. It was like, so you're going to be one of the only projects that is going to be like 20,000+ to actually fund. Like, the perception of that might make it more of an uphill battle, because so many of the other smaller scope projects are going to fund, and then people are going to innately think, like, why isn't this one funded? What's wrong with this one? Even though it is so freaking beautiful and stunning, it's just got like the much higher goal. Like, I think the average funding goal for the various projects was probably between like 2,000 to 5,000, I'd say. And then on the larger sides, MythWorks, their funding goal was 15,000, and then Ambitions was 20,000.
I know some people are kind of out on like months, like Mothership Month, Mousefurter Month, all that stuff. I get it. Like, it is a thing that could become tired. But I do think it just does. It does help to solve a little bit of those problems of like the second you have multiple stuff in collaboration. Now there's other people that are like slightly advertising your thing for you. There is that sense of community that helps you get through that like lull in the middle. It's just, you can kind of commiserate together of like, yeah, I also got two pledges today, and that's rough. I don't know. And I think there is just that little bit of excitement of, here's a special. I think that this is where it could go bad. It's like, if it stops being that special thing, if it stops being like, oh, like, you know, people get really excited about Pintopia, but if there's a Pintopia every month, it's like, it's not worth it anymore. It's not exciting. But when it is an event, that's interesting.
Yeah, there's a big difference between having 2 to 3 months dedicated to a certain game versus every single month dedicated to a different one. Yeah, I feel the same on that. Because I think the dedicated months are so cool, but if it becomes like overly commercialized, then it kind of loses that luster.
Yeah, it does have the sense of like, I hate to say it, but like 90s bands like selling out.
Yes.
It's fun. Yes. When it's indie and underground and you're like, ooh, like you get to tell your friends like, oh, they're doing this thing and there's like 40 different projects and they're all in the same universe for this, like, this is one big Mothership thing. That's really cool because it's exciting. You can get excited about it. And like Mousefurter did the same thing. It's like, you know, it's, we got Junk City and then we've got all these other modules and stuff. I don't know. It could go bad. I hope it doesn't, because I still like, I get excited for Mothership Month and Mousefurter Month. I'm like, those are cool.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I want to see more of them, but I also don't want it to get ruined. And I know me wanting more of it will ruin it. So maybe don't listen to me. Don't listen to me being excited about it.
I was talking to, I can't remember specifically who the creator was, but just kind of also like that catch-22 of, you're an indie creator until you make it to a certain degree, and then all of a sudden you're no longer indie anymore. And then it's kind of like that same thing of like, not necessarily you've sold out, but you've passed that point and you're now, it's easy to like you less because you've made it. You're the big entity instead of being like the underdog.
I know we've felt that as Many-Sided Media. Like, and let me be clear, we have not made it in any stretch of the word, but there is some appearance of that from the outside. And there is like some people that treat us slightly differently because we're now like an entity rather than like three people making podcasts, four people making podcasts. And I know, Elliot, you kind of had a similar thing.
Yeah, I have that more with More Blueberries, as like, you know, you make a Shopify store that looks more official and you make an info at email and all of a sudden people talk to you like a company and they're not like, oh, cute indie designer just making games. And I'm like, I'm still just solo indie guy. Like, I just made a nicer website.
I'm trying to make this a slightly better experience for you, the user. And because of that, I look like a
You're being mean to me now.
Yeah, why?
Yeah.
Please don't be mean.
Oh, I stumbled upon Gigantic Spider, who does like some blog work for the blog articles in the indie RPG scene. And I was this is so cool. And it was also really funny. It was specifically the month of November in which the RPG party launched, and I happened to stumble upon it. And they're like, yeah, I mean, like, Gay Found's there in the RPG scene. I guess you could say that. And I was like, oh, ouch. But one of the funny takeaways from it was something I didn't realize existed up until reading the, I don't think it was specifically their blog, but it was just some comments I saw on Blue Sky about like feeling distrust and like not wanting to talk to people that work for crowdfunding platforms. And I was like, oh, interesting. Like, I guess I could see that being a thing, but I've never thought of it because like, I obviously work for a crowdfunding platform, but I'm just a dude who likes to talk games.
That is the thing. The more you look at the people who are behind a company, it's like, they're just excited to be spending their life doing the thing they like to do. Like, let's all calm down just a little bit.
And often they come from games if like they're in a position like yours. So
it's, yeah. I know that was like Asher McClanahan from Kickstarter, like, was big into games and like was excited to be now taking over the RPG section,
which is so cool. I met Asher for the first time via like the most low stakes recorded like interview with him, and then Heather from BackerKit. But we did like the round of intros, and so Asher and Heather introduced themselves and like their previous work in the tabletop space. And I used to think I was pretty good at public speaking, and I think I'm getting a little bit better again now. But I like totally clammed up, and like comparatively, I was like, "My name's Cam. I like games. I don't really have much else to say."
And there's a certain class of people who were watching who were like, "Yeah, I trust that guy.
Yeah. That's my guy. I'm putting all my money behind him."
Since then, I've gotten to meet Asher in person and have a couple beers with him. Lovely freaking dude.
Really great guy. Yeah, we had him on the show. Had a really nice time. Awesome. Well, that was a fun tangent. I enjoyed that.
Sorry, that was definitely a dumbtail.
No.
No, I enjoyed it. So, Cam, our final question to round out the interview, the one we ask everybody who comes on Talk of the Table, is what are you bringing to the table? And this is just our cute way of asking for a recommendation for our audience that can be anything under the sun. It can be in tabletop, outside of tabletop. It could be, you know, to take a walk tomorrow, pet your dog. What are, Cam, what would you like to bring to our audience today?
Cool. I think pulling on the last string there of getting outside, I would say do some traveling for two reasons. The collaborative nature of it, and then the contemplative nature of it. When I was younger, I used to do all kinds of backpacking. And I'll never forget that feeling of meeting some people for a couple of days, maybe a week max, and just bearing your soul to these strangers and just that found family, and then jumping on like an 8-hour plus bus ride with your favorite music and a notebook and just reminiscing on it. And as I'm a little bit of an older individual now, I've found that similar vibe through going to tabletop gaming conventions, which is just like such a cool like thread to string along. And I think the reason for it, and actually to be fair too, those are both two very big asks, and they don't need to be that big. Like, go for a hike with some buddies, go camping, go to a different city and watch a show, and just make sure at some point on the way back you find yourself in transit alone with your thoughts, because it's incredibly cathartic and inspiring.
That's a really lovely answer. I love that one.
I love that.
Well, hell yeah. Well,
hell yeah.
The listener doesn't know, but Elliot and I, when we come to a pause in stuff, when we're like transitioning between thoughts, we'll often both say hell yeah, and we cut it out of so much.
I cut
of
out
this.
About 20 hell yeahs from every Talk of the Table.
It's just a great like filling dead space thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And just a solid phrase.
Solid phrase. It does bridge the gap just enough time for your brain to click into the next thing. Yeah. And that next thing is an outro. Cam, thank you so much for coming to the table. You want to let people know where they can find you and where they can find GameFound online if they're looking for it?
Heck yes. GameFound.com in general. I'd say easiest place to find me and have a chat is either Discord or Blue Sky. On Discord, I'm CamBR_coffee. On Blue Sky, I'm pretty sure I'm CamBRFound, something like that. But yeah. would love to chat crowdfunding. It is my freaking jam, and always looking for a win-win.
Thank you so much for coming to the table. We'll put all those links down in the show notes below. And if you want even more from us here at Talk of the Table, head on over to the Many Sided Media Patreon and become a member. There you're going to get access to a ton of bonus roundtables, bonus actual plays from our podcast, My First Dungeon, cast talkbacks, original music, original games, so much cool stuff. And most importantly of all, it really does help us continue to make this show and other shows. We've got a lot of cool stuff planned in 2026, and your support would mean the world to us. If you want to talk about this conversation and all the other conversations on Talk of the Table, you can head on over to the Many Sided Media Discord channel. We would love to have you and talk all about games. As always, rate, review, and follow Talk of the Table wherever you get your podcasts. And that's what the table is talking about. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.